will be the salt of the earth. However, in saying all that, there seems to be a problem. And it's bound to confront us if we haven't become a hermit or entered an enclosed religious order. The words of Jesus, "Sell your possessions and provide yourself with a treasure that does not fail." Of course, we ask ourselves the question, how realistic is that in suburban Belfast in August 2022, when we're facing increases in fuel prices and rates of inflation that haven't been known for decades? I don't wish people who don't share my religious beliefs to conclude that I'm living in cloud cuckoo land if I subscribe to the suggestion that we should dispose of all our possessions. And so, how can I make sense of those reported words of Jesus? Well, reflecting on the world in which we live, it's obvious, isn't it, that we live in an uneven playing field. Some have financial and material resources to tour the world and enjoy luxuries beyond the vast number of people, while others have not got the means with which to purchase their next meal. Sell all you possess may not seem realistic, but the words were and the words are meant to be an antidote to covetousness and greed, the type exemplified by the rich, foolish man who featured in last Sunday's Bible account. It can't be as true today as it was when the first followers listened to Jesus, that a fixation with money, with material possessions, and unfortunately resultant greed have the potential to become a root, if not the root of all evil. Let me put it another way. Professing Christians cannot hide behind a religious mask forever, because sooner or later, the mask will slip and the true face will become known. And sadly, there are two-faced Pharisees in every generation, and we, myself included, as Christians, could be amongst them. St. Augustine, one of the greatest figures in the early Christian church, whose early life can be described as a preoccupation with the love of wine, women, money, and extravagant behavior, embraced the faith and wrote a book entitled City of God, in which he contrasted the values of Rome in the 5th century, which worshipped power and wealth, a wealth incidentally achieved by exploiting slaves and the poorest in society. He contrasted that with the city of God, which upheld selfless love and kindness to all after the pattern of Jesus. He argued that in a society which was falling apart at the time, trust in God was essential, for that trust would give birth to more trust and generosity to more generosity. I don't believe that's rocket science, and it prompted one outside observer of a Christian community many centuries ago to remark, when he saw it being put into practice, how those Christians love one another. If we could truly live trusting God by working to further attempts to create the kingdom of God in our very small corner in the world, then we may begin to appreciate to a greater extent that perfect love casts out fear. And that is the fear of which Jesus spoke when he urged his disciples, "Fear not, little flock." None of us in this church can, or I'm sure wish, to become hermits, isolating ourselves from the realities of life with all its problems and its challenges, and indeed the temptation to put self-interest and greed before anything else. But we can trust the God we worship to help us to be more Christ-like, and maybe then with greater confidence respond to the problems of life, like Mother Julian of Norwich, who was much more in touch with the world than we may think, who stated to a perplexed, doubting world of her day, in these words that are so often quoted, with which I finish, "All will be well, for all will be well." And so to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
believe and trust in God the Father, who made all things. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, who redeemed the world?
We believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in his Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God?
We believe and trust in him.
This is the faith of the Church.
This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. As we gather here in St. Columba's this morning, each one of us will have our thanksgivings and our anxieties known only unto us. Let us in silence bring those before God, seeking his guidance, his strength, and his direction for the way forward. Lord, in your mercy. As people of faith, we pray for courage as we seek to live and work to God's praise and glory every day in the midst of all of the temptations around us. O Lord Jesus Christ, you inspired your followers with such courage that in your name they resisted temptation, overcame opposition, and attempted things which seemed impossible. Give us, we pray, the same courage, that we may choose the hard right instead of the easy wrong, not minding what other people think or say, or whether they laugh. When we are tempted to waver, may we remember the courage with which you endured the cross and thought nothing of the shame, because of the joy you had in doing your Father's will. We ask this for your name's sake. Amen. Amen. During these weeks of summer, we pray for all those who are on holiday at this time, that they will have a time of refreshment and also safe journeys. We give thanks for the opportunity